Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Chris on IMTM Worldwide Radio. This is Around the ATL Side Notes. But this is a live show, actually. This is the first time I'm doing it live all the way through as far as the radio part. So you can call into the show today, 646-652-4479, if you wish to join in. The message board is open, so if you have a comment, you can type. Maybe you're at work and you can't, you know, necessarily participate on the phone. You can at least type in a message or two. Make sure it's clean. This is a family show. But 646-652-4479 is the number. I'll go ahead and throw that across the screen for you real quick. So welcome to the show. Now, this has been a strange week. This has been a strange month, really, overall. Now, today, actually, I was supposed to be going to the Hawks game, and I was going to go, but finally I decided I'm not going to go. I'm going to sell my tickets, mostly because Braun, once he went questionable, I'm like, that's partially the reason I was going to go, but then AD was already out and just all the things, you know, the Lakers aren't really that good either, and then all the stuff that's happening with us, and I'm like, I'm going to be very mad if I take a two-hour trip on an uncomfortable shuttle and or rent me a car for $300, and then we get beat because Austin Reeves can't be stopped. I'm going to be really upset if I made that trip because, again, I don't live in Atlanta. So I decided to sell my ticket. So we're going to see how that works out. But I am going to watch the game, obviously. Now, just that being said, you know, again, the other reason is when I made the investment to do season tickets this year, you know, the anticipation was we're just going to be such a better team from last year. And, you know, the last game I attended was the Celtics game where, you know, Snowman, Jeezy was there, right? And we got blown out on national television right after we beat a really good Milwaukee Bucks team in Milwaukee a day ago, right? So we were really needing to win all these games this week to go into the new year with some kind of umph and emphasis and fighting, and this, we're not even competitive. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Oh, I forgot to hit that person up. Oh, well. But I'm going to watch the game, and we'll talk about it. But let's go ahead and get started a little bit. But before I do that, thanks to those who are listening and watching from Twitter or Facebook, New Pack City specifically. I did post it on your page there. You can always subscribe to the IMTM Worldwide Radio page on YouTube. You can also follow on Twitter. Make sure that's scrolling on the screen for y'all. Intellect ATL for me, myself, and my co-host Jordan 23 ATL, Jordan Jackson, my co-host on the show. And like I said, you can also follow on the IMTM Worldwide Radio YouTube channel. I'm going to keep mentioning that as the show continues. You can also follow on Facebook and Instagram under IMTM Worldwide Radio. And of course, you can call into the show 646-652-4479. Let's check to make sure I don't have any callers already. I don't. Good. And also, don't forget to support my man Jamal Price of Price Design Club. He has done some changes to his company overall, but he's somebody I've done business with over a period of time for all of my businesses. He's designed a lot for me. He does great work for what he does charge, because he does charge people, of course. He's a business person. But go hit him up, Price Design Club on Instagram. He designed the latest Around the ATL logo, as you can see, the first Around the ATL shirt, all sports, all Atlanta. You can check it out there. So make sure you hit him up. Make sure you let him know Around the ATL sent you. Go to Price Design Club on Instagram. Now, that all being said, let's go ahead and get into it. And, you know, I haven't done the intro for the Hawks in a while because we haven't done a live show in a while. And again, in 2023, we will be back on the air. At least that's the plan, to do regular shows again. As I look for the intro to – now I can't find it all of a sudden. So see how long it's been since we've done a live show. I know it's on here somewhere, so let's see if I can find it. Let's see. That's not it. Wow, I can't find it all of a sudden. This is very awkward, people. I'm going to find it, though, because I'm determined, and this is just what I have to do sometimes on live radio, obviously. So, wow, this is really awkward, though. I can't find it. So maybe we'll skip it. Oh, there it is. Okay, here we go. Keep that theme just for everything that's happened to the Migos, right? So, the December. Did you see the schedule right there? Let me post it again. There's games on that schedule in December we had no business losing. I'm going to get to them in a second, okay? We're going to get to them, all right? Now, so first things first, leadership. We were told after the Indiana Pacers game, a game where the team hadn't played since last Friday, that the reason that team lost was because they had heavy legs. They were tired. And I'm trying to figure out where could that explanation have come from the head coach. How do you develop heavy legs when you haven't played Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? That's 5 days off. That's what was said. That was what was told to us, okay? And we lost to a team that had just actually played the night before, okay? And then within that schematic, you leave our guys in till the bitter end where 4 minutes left, and that's when you decide to take players out. And then the next night, all of a sudden, we don't have players able to play, which, of course, creates another excuse possibly to where, well, if we lose this game to the Nets, it's because we're not at full strength. That's what was said. That's what was told to us, right? Now, we did end up losing to the Nets, but barely. Barely, right? We almost won. The fight was there. We had a 15-point lead, but at the end, we're fighting to hopefully win and go in the – Bob Rathman always keeps saying this. Over the last few weeks, it's happened a lot, where he turns to Nick. Man, Nick, it looks like we were on our way to an easy victory, and now we're trying to hold on to have a chance to come back. Another excuse in regards to this whole element of, well, the only way the team can win if we're full healthy, when we got beat by the Nets early in December by 4 points, we had the lead, too, by 4 points. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But after that game, the Nets subsequently benched their whole entire starting lineup, plus 3 bench players, and then went on to beat Indy that next game, who had all their guys, by the way. Yeah, it was a high-scoring game and all this, but they won the game, right? 135 to 134, they won the game. Down 8 players. But our team, we're the only team in the NBA, supposedly, that can give the excuse of where we're not at full strength. We can't win a game. We're not supposed to win a game. Don't expect to win the game. Meanwhile, the Lakers are going to go in there probably without Bron, definitely without AD. They're going to have a chance to beat us with Dennis Schroeder and Pat Bev and Austin Reeves, whatever his name is, Bryant. Not the real Kobe Bryant, but you know who I'm talking about. That team could beat us tonight. That's possible. 646-652-4479. So, again, just for the fact that Nate has said that, okay, well, let's wait until we get healthy. And every time we've been healthy. We weren't hurt the whole season. And even if we were, that's not an excuse. When are the excuses going to dissipate? When are, again, are we trying to win or just kind of win some of the time? Because all these other teams keep winning without starters, just not us. Now, next thing. Let me check, make sure I don't have any phone calls so far. Not yet. Let me check the chat room because I hadn't done that yet. So let's do that real quick. Again, I scheduled this on the fly. My bad. Sorry. Ask questions or give comments if you got them. I'm live. All right. So here's my first topic. Okay. Leadership. Now, I just mentioned about leadership and what was told to us by the head coach after that Indiana game, right? I ain't got to the next game yet, but I'm about to. With leadership on the player side of things, there is some sacrifice that comes with that by definition. Because sometimes, as much as you want to be the guy, you can't be the guy. Now, I talk about Trae Young on the basis of that, and I mentioned this in my article, which I will refer to in a little bit if you haven't had a chance to read it, in that I don't want Trae to take his gene of making those big shots and making the clutch shots and doing the things that he does to be the superstar that he is. However, there is some give and take in that sometimes. And one thing with Trae, of course, and we've all known this, he wants to pass the ball. He's built to pass the ball. He wants to get 18 assists a night. He's getting 10 right now, despite what we have going on the offensive side of the ball. He's still getting 10 assists a night. If he didn't want to pass the ball, he would never have 10 assists. He wouldn't have 6 assists. He barely would have 3 if he didn't want to pass the ball. That's a whole other story in itself. But like I said, in my article, I don't want Trae to have ever to take that out of him or anybody who has that capability of doing it on a regular basis, which is not everybody in the league, to put the team on his shoulders. If nobody else is hitting, okay, now I have to do it. I feel obligated that I have to do it. It's not about trust. It's a matter of is the ball going in or not at a certain point. It's give and take in that, though. And again, I've said it again. I refer to my article. In fact, I'll go ahead and go to it now. Shoot. I don't have to go completely on script here. This is an excerpt from my article. We can't be a one-dimensional team and expect to win, not when we have two guards like Trae and Murray. In the 1, 2, 3, third paragraph or so, first of all, this is quote, first of all, I said from the very start that Trae has to be a better decision maker in certain situations. He can't shoot from half court all the time. Can't have 10 turnovers in a game. That is being selfish. But do I need to repeat that again? But also, the coach can't let him do it either. We'll get into that. I don't want to get too deep. Coach can't let him do it either. So last night, or the night before last, or whatever, okay, we had some situations occur. You can call them that, I guess, right? Sacrifice is needed in a particular situation. Now, during the game against the Nets, Lauren comes on the air. You know how she does. She goes into the huddle to find out what's going on. 646-652-4479. Let's check, make sure I got no callers. Okay, good. She comes on the air and says, guys, you know, I was sitting there in the huddle and Coach Nate was telling Murray that we need to make sure that the ball is moving from side to side, that we're getting the ball to guys, so that we're blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, Nate's saying it. Oh, he said it. There it is. So at that point, anything that happens other than what Nate asked him to make sure is done on the court, which in this case was ISO Joe-ism. Maybe it was because ISO Joe was actually in the crowd. Might not have been a good idea. We'll get into that a little bit. But at the moment that Nate saw that he wasn't actually doing that, why wasn't Murray pulled then? Why wasn't he pulled? One of the things I've said was that if a player can't understand self-awareness that he could be hurting his team by shooting his team out of the game, whether it be he hitting shots or missing shots, because you can shoot a team out of a game hitting shots. I've told you that. I explained it to you in a couple of episodes ago, and also in print. The coach has to do something, because otherwise if he doesn't, he's complicit with whatever happens as a result of not actually following the instruction of the coach to help the team win, because the goal is to win the doggone game. But he was not removed from the game, and he was allowed to do things that he was doing, where he ended up with 26 shots. And a lot of those shots were ill-timed, decision-type shots, and he wasn't hitting them when we had other guys who were open and hitting them. So let me go through this a little bit now. And hopefully this works. We'll see. Because, again, I want to show you what I'm talking about here, because obviously nothing else has worked for some people. Okay. Now, also, this goes into Trey being benched or not, or John being benched or not. Well, whoever it might be, you can't let someone go 0-for-10 from three. You can't do that. You see what I'm saying? You can't let someone just be a sieve on defense. Nobody's guarding nobody. How? Somebody's scoring 40 points on the other team. We're not going to double him. So that person who's guarding him is not stopping him, obviously. Something has to happen. But it never happens, though. And like I've always said, either Nate isn't telling them, or he is telling them and they're not listening, but it can't be both. Can't be both. Can't be. Okay? And that's why I said that in the first paragraph of my article, early December. If it's about pulling the players, why doesn't it actually happen? Because other teams do it. Billy Donovan here, let me show you. I did not get a chance to pull this particular interview, okay, with Billy Donovan. However, I'll just kind of post it up here real quick if I can find it. I know where it's at. It's at the bottom. In November, Billy Donovan sat Zach LaVine. He had played 25 minutes. He was 1-for-14 in shooting. Billy Donovan in that particular press conference said, well, my job is to get the team in the best position to win the game. And in this particular case, LaVine didn't have it. And I had a group in there that did have it. And so I had to do something because it wasn't happening. 1-for-14. That shows you it ain't happening. And you know how much Zach LaVine makes, right? I don't got nothing to do with money. Head coach makes a decision. That's what it is. No player can take himself out the game, and no player just walking on the court whenever they want to. It don't work like that. There's a contract that's signed. Here's the head coach, and I'm the professional basketball player, and if the coach asks me to do something, nobody forces you to sign an NBA contract, but that's the deal. There aren't no player coaches. That's the hierarchy. That's it. You see what I'm saying? And so if that's the move that gets the team back into the game, which it did in that particular game, they still ended up losing the game. They lost by 1 point because I think Vucevic blew it somehow or another. I can't remember how exactly it happened. I didn't get to go through the whole game in that case. That's not my team. But I was going to do a whole article about that in regards to situationals where – if you got your best player not hitting on nothing, either that player has to figure out how else to help his team, or he can't be on the floor for a period of time. That's it. There is no ifs, ands, or buts after that. At least it shouldn't be. 646-652-4479. Let me pop the number up there as a reminder that you can call. This is a live show actually today. I usually don't do side notes as live. Full live shows, I'll do streaming sometimes, but today I decided because I have time because I'm not driving all the way up to Atlanta today, spending $300 on a rental car. Not going to do it. Now, I wanted to get that out the way first and foremost. Now, there was bits and pieces where it was some stuff was going good and everything, and this is where it comes back to, well, wait a minute. The Hawks had a 15-point lead in this game. Okay? So what exactly happened? Okay. Now, again, Murray heard the fact that Trey wasn't playing. He was the primary ball handler for that night. Again, he took 26 shots. He hit 10 of them. He was 1-for-4 from three. All right. So here's the last 2 minutes of that next game. So let's see if this works. I didn't get a chance to practice it, but we'll see if it works. So here's the first part. All right, so Aaron Holiday hits a three, right? That was about at the 148 mark to tie the game at 104. You know, Aaron Holiday shoots 43% from three this season. Keep that in mind, all right? So let's go to the next play. John Collins, what do they say? Get it to John Collins. Why don't we do that all the time? You know, you already know where I come on that end. John Collins, through his rookie season till now. Let me play it again. Want to hear it again? Let's do that again. Instead of him standing at the three-point line all the time, waiting for someone to pass him the ball like he's Kyle Korver, they should be doing that the whole game, especially in crunch time like that. That was to tie the game again. All right, that was John. 106. Now, here is the next possession around 52nd mark of the fourth quarter. Let's see if I can get this right. Now, nothing necessarily wrong with that shot to an extent, but what I look at is the fact that nobody on our team moved an inch, and that's the whole season right there. The whole season in a nutshell for me is that with that penetration, there was nobody who moved to an empty spot. Nobody cut to the basket. Nobody helped out. He was just down there just whirling dervish or whatnot and hoping it goes in and things of that nature, but nobody really helped either. It's a travesty. But that was the next play right after that. Now, we're still down, I believe, 2 points at that point, right? Now, here is the next play, I believe. Let's make sure. Again, I didn't get a chance to practice this, but let's see. Here we go. So he missed the free throw. Now, people are like, well, blah, 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 blah. My whole thing is it should never have came down to that. We're at home, had a lead again. And I'm going to get to the lead part too. I have a whole breakdown on that, but I ain't got there yet. So he misses the free throw. He hits the second free throw, right? So Kyrie is coming down the court, and this is what happens. Now, it was about 6 seconds left at that point. Now, I, for whatever reason, had to assume that since an old timeout was called and they just came up the court, we didn't have a timeout. And I'm like, in our previous games, we took a timeout and we got a decent shot off. But for whatever reason, in this particular case, that did not happen. Fine. 50-50 on that. Okay? 646-652-4479 is the number. And so far, no callers. And make sure I don't have any comments yet. Don't think so. Make sure you comment if you got a comment. Are you a Hawks fan? If you're watching this, I'm hoping you're a Hawks fan. And share it with other people. I know I didn't advertise this. I know some people are at work or whatnot. But tune in. If you're a Hawks fan, this is all for y'all. But the number is down there at the bottom. So the decision was made not to call timeout. All right? So here's what happened right after this. Brooklyn survives. Just the words. I can't imagine what Steve Holman was going through watching the whole fourth quarter unfold. Okay. Now, you see on that play, you had two people that were right there in Murray's eye. Okay. Now, the reason I mentioned Aaron Holiday and his 43% shooting from three, Bogey is also shooting 43% from three. So when you're talking about a last shot in the game, potentially type of deal to win the game, don't you feel a little bit better with Bogey, who has that in his resume of hitting big shots like that, clutch shots like that, and actually has the shot to do it? How much better would you have felt with him having that shot? Miss or make, but wouldn't you have been a little bit, just better feeling just overall rather than taking a shot with two people in front of you? Because I'm sorry, Murray is cool and everything, but he ain't Kobe Bryant. He ain't Michael Jordan. He ain't Ray Allen. He's none of those players. And also, he shoots 34% from three. Okay? He was 1-for-4 tonight. Now, there is the four, right? But also, you saw Big O cutting down the lane. Big O can't hit his free throws. So if anything, once those two people were right there, remember it was 6 seconds getting the ball from John, coming up the court with about 4 seconds left. Don't tell me he couldn't have made just one pass. You had enough time to get a pass to one person, whether it be Aaron over here who was moving up, he had a shot. Whether it be Bogey, who was right there, he definitely had a shot, and you could see his frustration after the game was over. And like I said, O is running down the court. Now, if you didn't have a play, because there wasn't no play. That was just getting up and hoping for the best type of a deal. That wasn't a Ram play. It wasn't. So don't say that. The goal is to win the game. Give your team the best shot to win. Make the sacrifice of having to be the guy right there in that particular instance. The goal is to win the game. Because if it's not that, what are you even doing? Do we want to win or as I mentioned in the title, do I need to mention it? Let's see, where is it at? Forgot it just that quick, right? Do you want to win or almost win? We had a 15-point lead in this game, folks. 15-point lead. 15-point lead. 15-point lead. At the 4:23 mark of the second quarter is when we had that 15-point lead. Now, I had someone online, I believe it was Facebook, basically say, well, Chris, that was in the first half we had the lead. And you had a whole second lead, and you had KD and Kyrie. And I'm like, that's all excuses, folks, because if your team is good enough to have the lead, they're good enough to win the game because somehow they figured out how to beat whoever it was on the other team. I don't care who's on the other team at a certain point. I played a rec league game, midnight basketball game, years ago, and I forget the exact circumstances, but we ended up with only 5 players on the team showing up to play. Now, minimum, you had to have at least 5 to even get on the floor. If we had had 4, we would have had to forfeit the game. We were asked if we wanted to forfeit the game anyway, because we were going to be playing 5-on-9, basically. And I forget what the quarters were and everything like that, but basically it was saying we're about to die out here tonight. We're going to have to play the whole game, no subs, nothing. And we said, no, we're going to do this. We're going to play. Fuck that. We're out here. We ain't out here for no exercise. We're going to try to win the game. And we were playing a pretty good team, too. We knew who was on the other team. We said, no, we're going to go down. We're going to go down doggone fighting. But we know how to play basketball, though. You know, we won that game. Straight up won the game. Because if you go into a game believing you can win the game, you give yourself a chance. If you give yourself an excuse, oh, we're missing 3 starters. How many times do we got to hear that? Oh, we're missing 3 starters. Oh, we're missing 3 starters. Oh, we're missing 3 starters. I know it's the job to mention that on the broadcast and everything, but it's just an excuse. Because all the other teams in the league beat us without their starters or their prime players. We lost 3 games in a row at one stretch. Y'all remember that? Houston, Miami, Philly. Butler wasn't playing that game. James Harden and Maxey wasn't playing that one game. And then Houston, who we can't sweep Houston to save our lives. Remember, we got beat by Houston last year, missing more people than they were missing this year when they beat us. We can't beat them. But all the other teams in the league beats everybody, shorthanded, all the time. But that don't matter with us, though. Check this out before I go further. Here are the games where the Hawks had double-digit leads and either lost the game, okay, or we had double-digit leads and we barely won. Month of October, October 23rd, we played the Charlotte Hornets. We had a 13-point lead in that game, folks. You know, we lost that game 126-109. We were healthy then. You heard the date, right? 646-652-4479. All right. Let me make sure I switch this over. Make sure y'all follow us on Twitter, IntellectATLJordan23 on Twitter. All right. That was October 26th. I mean, 23rd. On October 26th, we played the Pistons. We had a 12-point lead in that game. We won that game 118-113. Month of November. November 5th, we played the Pelicans. We had a 13-point lead in that game. We won that game 124-121. Do the math. That was November. Was everybody hurt in November too? November 9th, we played the Utah Jazz at home. We had a 10-point lead in that game. We lost that game 125-119. I believe I talked about that game in the article that I wrote. And I'll make sure I post that article again. Actually, I guess I can do it right now since I got it pulled up. Here you go. It's right here in the comment section. If I can find it real quick. Uh-oh. My article. Go pull up what I talked about in that particular game and all the other games I talked about in the first couple of weeks of the year or the first couple of months. Go pull that up. I don't got time to go over it again. But we should have won the game, and I explained why, okay, we should have won the game, all right? Actually, I have that on video as well. I'll pull them up another time. November 10th, the next night, Philly. We had a 20-point lead in that game. We won that game 104-95. November 23rd, the Kings, 23-point lead. Won that game 115-106. November 25th. Remember this game? Had a 16-point lead. We lost that game 128-122. We know primarily why on that one. Two players wanted to take all the shots. They were selfish. Nobody else was going to get involved. They're waving people out the paint, John Collins, waving people out the way. AJ, just everybody get out the way. We're not giving you the ball. I'm going to take 24 shots, and I'm going to take 28 shots. We're going to win this game on our own. Two against 15 players. That's how we're going to do it. Nate, let them do it, too. We lost that game. November 27th against the Heat. Had 11-point lead in that game. We lost that game 106-98. Didn't double-team Bam not one that time. And all the other foolery that happened in that game. November 28th, Philly, 16-point lead. We lost that game 104-101. Also, didn't double-team Joel not one that time. You had Murray guarding Joel one time. Clint was right there. All he had to do is say, I got him, switch. Didn't happen. Or Clint could have just said, let me double him. That didn't happen. Clint just stood there. Joel, easy bucket. Joel scored like 10 points in a row. Who's the guy? I can't remember. Shake scored like 10 points in a row at one point. Lost that game, though. That was three games in a row. That was November. This month, December 5th, OKC, we had a 14-point lead in that game. We lost that game 121-114. Didn't stop shy for nothing. We weren't going to double-team. He got 35 points on layups that night, plus us not really doing anything important on the offensive side as far as let's do this, just chucking up shots. Go check it out. December 11th against the Bulls, 12-point lead. We won that game 123-122. 12-point lead, though. December 19th, the Magic, 13-point lead. Won that game 126-125. And, of course, most recently, December 28th against the Nets, had a 15-point lead, lost that game 108-107. We currently are 6-7 when we have a double-digit lead or more. When I say double digit, I mean 10 points or more. Now, how is that satisfactory to anybody? Because that's not going to get better at this point. We're 6-7? 7 losses just on that. And by the way, I didn't have time. This was all done early this morning. I was very tired. But we have a lot of games where we had leads of less than 10 points, and we still lose the game, of course, too. That really goes into decision-making overall. We have a 4-point lead against the Nets early in December. We had a 4-point lead with 5:29 left in that game, and we lost that game. We had the lead. Again, if you're good enough to get a double-digit lead, you're good enough to win the game. I'm sorry, that's just the facts. Now, let's talk about sacrifice again. Now, one of the reasons that the team got the lead on Wednesday in the first place is because they moved without the ball. They were cutting. Okay? When you make it easier for someone to get you the ball, like Murray had 8 assists in that game. Don't forget that. They also gave John the ball in the post. And he was either hitting the shots or he was getting fouled. There was one time the person cut, he passed the ball. He only had 1 assist, but they double-teamed him and appropriately someone cut. Pass the ball, layup. Then everything stopped. We reverted right back to what we usually do. And again, it doesn't matter who's on the floor. It doesn't matter if Trey's on the floor and it happens. It doesn't matter if Murray's on the floor and it happens. It doesn't matter if Bogey's on the floor and it happens. All of a sudden, people just say, I'm going to just dribble the ball through the shot clock, and then I'm going to put up an oblong shot and hope it goes in. That's what we do. That's what we do. And it happened again. We saw turnovers. We saw bad. We just saw everything just go bad, just dribbling the shot clock out. If you actually ran an offense that was conducive to actually moving without the ball, it lessens the amount of opportunities that other team has. Because every time we put up a stupid shot, it always seems to happen that the other team grabs the rebound, goes down the other end and scores an and one and a wide or a wide open 3-point. It always happens to us all the time. Which is why we always give up those high 3-point percentages, which I'll get into in a little bit. Okay, but for whatever reason, we stopped moving the ball. And everything that we did to get that 15-point lead started happening in the second quarter. That second quarter, they went into halftime. It wasn't a 15-point lead anymore. And then you go into the third quarter, and then you go into the fourth quarter, obviously. Hawks had a 15-point lead at 4:28 mark, like I said. Team scores 5 points for the rest of that quarter. That's where you don't have an offense. How is that even possible? I don't care about substitutions. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't change. See, with other teams, they have continuity. They have an identity. They have a plan. They have an ideology. And everybody is in on it. And this is how it has to be. Whether it be like Golden State, Jordan Poole, Curry is gone. Jordan Poole is there, though. They do everything like they do. They passing. They're switching. They're setting screens for shots. They're doing all of those things. I'm going to get into coaching a little bit because I'm going to play a clip of Coach Bud in a little bit. Y'all going to love it. At least some of y'all will who believe in coaching. But we don't do that. We don't do anything. We don't stay with anything that works. And why is that? Like, why is that so apparent? Or abhorrent, I should say, to keep doing what's successful. To keep doing what's successful. John Collins got the ball first 5 games of this season, and he never saw the ball after that, unless it was a 3-point shot. Then he would get the ball, and then he feels he has to shoot it because he ain't going to get the ball otherwise, because he sure ain't going to get it in the post, because we won't do it. John's getting 9 shots a game. All the other power forwards in the game are getting 15 shots or more. John's regulated to 9, 7, 6 shots a night. And I also brought that out in my article, which I can go over if you want to, but I'm gonna just read. If you follow the page, IMTM Worldwide Radio, or you follow me on Twitter, I will repost all of those shows today. Okay. Now, I don't know if I'm gonna get to play some of these. But I'll just speak them instead because I don't know if all of these are going to work. So like in the third quarter, you know, the 10:55 mark, you know, Murray pulled up 4-3. He missed it, okay? No, Biggie, to an extent, maybe, kind of, except was it really necessary? But really what also happened was nobody moved. In the fourth quarter, you had that shot, that bogey shot. Nobody moved. 6:22 mark, that was. Murray at the 5:22 mark. Kyrie got a layup coming back after Murray turned the ball over because of the, whatever it was that he was doing there, right? Murray at the 3:29 mark in the fourth quarter. John was posted up. Murray shot it. John's right there, but he decided to shoot it anyway. You see what I'm saying? Most of this has to do with everything about not moving without the ball, but then also John's hitting all this. John is doing stuff. Why wouldn't you want to take advantage of the advantage? But for whatever reason, we want to make it harder for our guys. And one thing I will play, let me see, was I going to do it now? Yeah, let's play it now. Let me show y'all something. Let me show Trae Young real quick. Let's see if I can find it. Nobody moved. Nobody moved from where they were standing at the three-point line area where they were at. No one slid. No one cut. Because nobody's being taught to do it. There has to be some kind of direction to be like, if Trae's doing his thing out here, don't let him get self-trapped because they know y'all are not going to move, which happens all the time. Rick Carlisle was doing that to death on us on Tuesday because he knew what we were going to do. Nothing. Trap Trae. They ain't going to move. Let's dare them to move. They're not going to move. And Trae's going to have to do a somersault to try to get a pass to somebody that's standing still. And that's what he's been doing forever, basically. And in a bit, I'm going to play some old shows to kind of explain that. Because I pulled some old shows up from 4 years ago, okay? Because I want y'all to hear it. I hope it works. So hopefully you can hear it. I didn't get a chance to test it either. But that's what happens most of the time. But here's what we should be doing all of the time with AJ or Bogey or Murray, who's great at mid-range. Watch this. We should be doing that 50 times a game. We could be doing that. And we do it once a game, basically. Once, maybe twice. Staggered screen. A couple of weeks ago, there was a high-low. I think it was O, and I think it was Murray who got the layup after the pass. But he gave it to him in the high post. John should be getting the high post. John's a great passer. Well, he's a good passer. I don't know about Clint being able to do it necessarily, but we won't even try. We don't have no substance of all what everybody else does in real life. We don't do it here. Getting better shots, easier shots. We don't screen for shoot. We got shooters galore. You know how I know that? Where our final scores are usually. We average 113 points a game. We can score. Can't stop nobody, but we can score, but we should be scoring more. I've been saying that. Trae is trying to get 15 to 18 assists tonight, but we can't do it because nobody will move. People are going to stand behind the three-point line. Look at this. Here, let me show you. Let me see. Is this it here? Oh, got the rebound, but look where everybody else was at. Nobody moved at all. Not a muscle. They were just like, I played way too much basketball. I could never get away with just standing somewhere for a whole possession. There's no way I could do it. It doesn't make sense in my head. My mind would explode if I was just supposed to stand still. Like I turned into salt or something. A pillar of salt. Y'all know the parable, right? What in the world? 646-652-4479. My bad. Oh, okay, good. I was going to say, didn't know if anybody was listening. Hopefully people are listening, maybe not be able to call because you're at work. It's 3:16 in the afternoon. Again, I didn't schedule this show until 2 hours ago. Thanks for all that are watching either on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter or wherever you're looking. And hopefully you share the show with others if you like it. Again, make sure you follow on Intellect ATL or Jordan23 ATL on Twitter. And make sure you follow IMTN Worldwide Radio on the YouTube channel. Please do that. I'll let that stay on there for a little bit. So that's a problem. We don't win games because of that. We've lost a lot of games over 2 years because of that. Look at our record last year, y'all. We didn't win a championship last year, okay? So just a reminder as far as that goes. Now, as I mentioned, Trey is trying to do that, but we don't move. We don't do any of the things that are successful. So if you read my article, you know I mentioned Coach Melvin Hunt. So I'm gonna read an excerpt from the article pertaining to that part because I want you to be reminded that actually we actually do have the offense we're supposed to have. We do actually, okay? But I want to read you why we don't have the full offense and why, and the question is, how come it's not being implemented, all right? So let me see if I can find it real quick. Again, I'm trying to find it. I can't barely, okay, there we go. Let's see. Coaching, Doug Collins, here we go. So I'm trying to find it. Oh, wow, now I can't find it. This is live radio, y'all, so let me see. I couldn't pull but everything but so fast today. Plus, I was still looking for my tickets and seeing when I should sell them, see how much I can make off of them today. Man, I can't find it. Maybe I should take a commercial break and find it. Because it's, oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. Found it. Whew, that was close. All right, so here we go. So in this article, what is this? In this article, part of it I was talking about the team, and then part of it I talked about coaching, and then part of it I talked about the organization. On the coaching part of it, I said that the coaching staff operates as a team just like the players on the floor. Okay? Now, I'm going to skip a little bit. You're going to have to read the article for yourself. But there was a time where Melvin was an interim coach of the Denver Nuggets, right? And he implemented what he wanted to have happen, all right? And one of the things he did was he gave the reins a little bit to the players to be able to make their own decisions. So I'm going to quote Adam Maris of SB Nation now. While some new offensive sets have been put in, the biggest change has come from giving the players a green light to make plays and take shots at their discretion. Hunt has given his players a huge amount of trust to play the right way, and for the most part, the team has responded by sharing the basketball and playing for each other. Some operative words there. Now, here's the rest of that, because see, that is kind of what we do here and what we've been doing for the last couple of seasons, but here's the kicker. Here's why I get angry. This is why I get mad. Because here's the rest of it. And what did I just do? Oh, I'm reading the article. Giving players a huge amount of trust. I'm reading from the article again. Giving players a huge amount of trust to play the right way and make plays. The problem is this team isn't following the second part of that quote. We are not spacing the court, reacting to the defense, cutting, filling spots around the perimeter, and leaving the paint open for dribble penetration and cutting to the basket. We don't do any of those things, y'all. We stand behind the three-point line, and we hope for the best. Entire shot clock is dribbled out most of the time, and we're hoping and wishing and praying and hoping. If you're old school, you know that song. It's not a song, but I'm paraphrasing. We don't move. The times where we do it, the times we actually cut to the basket, and every time it happens, it always is said either by Nick or Bob, hey, if you cut to the basket, Trey will find you. Trey is about to pass Magic Johnson for 30 and 10 games. You know how old Trey is? You know how many years Trey has played in the NBA? And he's about to pass Magic. That's how much Trey likes passing the ball. Every night. But most of the time, Trey is trying to do some crazy wild stuff on the floor because he's trying to get the ball to a standstill person. You see what I'm saying? It's just like the NFL. That wide receiver is moving to a spot. And the quarterback has to throw the ball in anticipation of where that player is going to be. But he can't just sit. You can't just just be there. It's the same thing in the NBA. If you're moving to a spot, the quarterback will get you the ball every freaking time. If you cut, if you move, that's why I always talk about my basketball videos, which I will bring up in a little bit. In a post position, if you get me the ball and you cut, I'm going to get you the ball. If you cut towards me, I'm going to put the ball in your bread basket. You're going to have a layup. If you cut, because if you cut, you beat your man, ain't nobody going to come out. They can't because I'm right there. If you move to an open space, I'll get you a wide open three-pointer too. Miss it or make it, it's wide open. Aren't wide open shots just a little bit easier to make than double contested shots? Don't you think? Just a little bit? Just a little bit. So let's see how much time I got left here. 36 minutes. So let's go. Uh-oh, I got a caller. So let's go ahead and bring the caller on real quick and see if I can still have enough time.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from, sir.
Hey, Chris, it's Carson, man. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing good. I had a question. I was just able to get off work and hear part of it. I wanted to hear your thoughts on the lack of cutting. Is that more of a player thing, or would you say that's more of a coaching thing, a scheme thing? Like, how would you break down why we have such issues moving off the ball?
Well, first, I want to appreciate you calling in, Cars. I appreciate it very much. So it's been a while since I've done a live show, so I almost, hey, does this work? So second of all, so it's two things. Naturally, as a player, again, this is where I talk about just playing basketball. Basketball is basketball at a certain point. You should know how you're playing with certain players. Like when I play, I know who my shooters are. So at a certain point, I know I'm not trying to shoot my team out of the game. I'm trying to set some screens for my guys. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So on the cutting side, part of it is the player either not used to doing it or if it's in their head, they just don't do it. But most of it is going to be on the coaching side because this should be natural. And if it's not natural, that means it's not being taught. It's not being practiced. We've had two whole off-seasons with this team. It's not being practiced because otherwise we would do it every game. AJ does it a little bit based off of his previous coach, Coach K, right? College basketball player. They always cut there, right? But here it is in the NBA, and all of a sudden, well, nobody's cutting, so maybe I shouldn't cut either, right? Because everybody's always standing at the three, right?
And I noticed that too. When we have that happen, I'm just wondering, like, when we see, like, where we're going a full half with no one cutting, shouldn't that be on Nate to take a time out and be getting in these guys' ears saying, why aren't y'all moving? Like,
well, so here it is, and hopefully I have enough time to play the clip from Coach Bud, but you're exactly right, because either it's Coach Nate, or what about the assistant coaches? They're having all these clipboards and iPads, and I keep asking, what are all these guys doing? Because whatever it is, if they are teaching something, it's not translating on the floor. So either they're not teaching it or the guys ain't listening, but it can't be doggone both. It can't, right? So that's a problem because you have one of the best passers we've ever seen only getting 10 assists a night. And that ain't cool to me.
He could be dropping 15 a night easily if we just have even a small fraction of some off-ball movement compared to what we have now, which is non-existent.
And that's why I read the point of my article about Coach Melvin and what he said in regards to having an offense where you're giving a little bit of free reign to the players. But if it ain't working, the coach has to take over. The coach has to say, hey, guys, if you're not going to do this, I can't let you play. And that's the end of it. And so until that starts happening, I don't know why this is so, like, mind-boggling for everybody to be like, the coach has to take control if the players can't hold themselves self-accountable and actually do it.
It feels the same way when we see, you know, the ISO ball start taking over after we'll see, you know, a great quarter of some ball movement, and then all suddenly we go straight back to ISO, and it's like, why are we not calling a timeout and being like, hey, what's going on? Why did we go away from what was working last quarter? So all of a sudden now we're trying to go individual again.
It's frustrating because it's obvious, right? We all see it.
And I still maintain, and I think a lot of us have, is that we have the talent on the team. It's just the execution from this team has been severely lacking, and I feel like it's just because we've been so one-dimensional when and the fact that we don't do any off-ball movement. So teams know if they just stay on their guy and keep an eye on them, they're not going
to
move.
They're
not going
to
cut behind you.
They're
not going to. They're not going to have to keep turning around and looking to see where someone's at, because no one's going to make a quick cut like that.
And then I
go and watch a Warriors game, and I'm just so jealous, and I get so upset because it's like
it's some
beautiful
basketball.
Smart.
Again, that's the greatest point. The NBA is smart, and once they catch on to something, Coach Rick Carlisle was daring us to move. They trapped Trey how many times? They dared us to do anything other than what we usually do, and that's why I notated the article that I wrote. We can't be one-dimensional when we got both Trey and Murray on the team, and they could do so many different things, but we limit them because we won't do what all the other teams have done to be successful over time. And because Nate has refused to do it, basically saying, you know, we're okay. We're not worried about not being able to close out games. And yeah, I know I'm coaching old school, but you know, it'll work out in the end. That's not satisfactory when we're 6-7 in double digit leads.
Yeah, and in the end, it's not working out in the end because we're getting exposed. By the time the fourth quarter rolls around, every other coach in the league is basically able to adjust and figure out what we're doing. And then come fourth quarter time, we could be up by 50. And I feel like we're about to lose the game just because I know we're about to go into some stagnant form of offense. We're going to dribble the ball out the air. No one's going to get the ball besides whoever brings it up that time. And we did the same thing last night towards the fourth quarter. You know, DeJounte was doing it. Bogey was doing it. And it's just like, we had John going crazy last night. We had Okongwu going, you know, having a nice game. And it's just like, why are we not still looking to kind of work inside out, feed our guys? And, like, I was so happy when I saw, I can't remember if it was Justin or Aaron, make a post pass inside of John. He was at the three-point line. He actually made an entry pass into the post. And I was like, that might be the first entry pass to the post I've seen not off a pick and roll in 3 years on this team. Like, because we only go inside on pick and roll. We don't just feed our big men, see if they can make a move, and if they can't, let them pass back out. Because, I mean, I put a comment earlier, I don't know if it showed up, but the other night, John was down in the post. He got the ball down low. He got a little crowded, and he made a beautiful bullet pass to Hunter in the left-hand corner and then shot it, nothing but net. And it's like, why aren't we trusting our bigs to, you know, give them a second, hold the ball, scan the floor, see who's open, and get the ball to them? Like, and then that's when the guys off ball need to be moving around trying to get open. Like,
you're hitting everything. I'm a logical person, but I also play basketball. And most of it is just basketball. And for us to not do the natural things is beyond frustrating because we're losing. It'd be different if we had made the Eastern Conference Finals last year, right? Mm-hmm. So we lost 39 games. We weren't favored, but one of the two play-in games we played, and when we got knocked out unceremoniously in that Miami Heat series, hoping that Kayvon would do something, but he didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hurt, we know that, and Spo locked up Trey. And that was it. And we were supposed to fix everything from last year to this year, which is why I made the investment in the thousands that I paid in season tickets this year. And unfortunately, we might be worse. And that ain't cool to me, and it shouldn't be cool to anybody because I want to see the team win, not almost get by and win here and there every now and the blue moon. We're better than that because we have all these leads to prove it. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Oh, yeah. Minus being a little bit worse on the bench this year, we still have a better starting core with the fact that we added DeJounte. So the fact that we're still 500, to me, is mind-boggling because, I wasn't expecting us to come out here and be, you know, 10 games above 500, but I was not expecting us after 40 games to be at 500. Just because that's just so wildly inconsistent when you have such electrifying playmakers in Trey and DeJounte. They're some of the best guards I could think of in the league. We've got Capella, who's a great anchor down low, minus the offensive miscues and all that. I can overlook that for what he brings on defense. And we got Okongwu finally starting to look like himself. And it's just like, we've got this talent, and yet we're still running into the same problem, and everyone's getting older now. You know, another year has gone by. Next year, another year is going to have gone by.
We can't waste another year of Trae Young or John and all these guys. Again, last year, Trae did something only one other player in the NBA has ever done in history, and it was wasted because nobody cared because we lost 39 games and basically were eliminated except for the new format. And we can't let that happen again and then let it happen again and then let it happen again because Nate has 2 more years on the contract. And we're just supposed to just let him just run this team into the ground like he did in Portland.
Yeah, we're going to be Seattle and Indiana 2.0 all over again to where we might win a game or two in the first round and then we're going to get bounced either in a horrible fashion or second round we'll meet up an opponent who just completely has our number. And there ain't going to be a shot in hell just because we're so predictable. I mean, we can all sit and watch a Hawks game and pretty much know how a sequence is going to play out depending on how the ball gets brought up the court. And so if we can know that, we sure as hell know that the NBA defense, the coaches know that.
We're not experts. We know this. We're not coaches. You know, we're not NBA players by any stretch of the imagination. But basketball is basketball, and you can see through all this stuff. And if we
Last night when Bogey came down in the fourth quarter, and at one point he was just kind of – he dribbled like 5-6 times, and I remember saying out loud, I was like, pass the ball, Bogey, and he kept dribbling, and then he just puts up this kind of, you know, turnaround fader or whatever he did, and it didn't go in.
Oh, I played that tip, actually, Card.
I'm just like, what a wasted possession that was. We still had probably about 15 or so seconds on the clock, maybe a little bit less, but the ball didn't touch anyone else's hand. Bogey brought it up, dribbled it out, and put the shot up. And it's like, what in the world are we doing? It's the fourth quarter. We've got guys who've been having good games across the board. Spread the ball around. Let's see if someone can – you never know who – I mean, we've already seen A.J. Griffin got 2 game winners this year. No one would have predicted that before the season. So we never know who's going to be able to be that clutch guy in that last moment. You never know who might make that shot. And so the fact that we're not, you know, letting other guys get the chance – I mean, last night I still think not calling a timeout was egregious.
Once I found out we actually had timeouts, I was just like, I started thinking I don't want to really go to this Lakers game at this point now.
I'd sell those tickets and make that bank, bro. Has LeBron said he's playing? Is LeBron confirmed playing yet?
It's 3:34. Usually that solidifies about an hour and a half. Well, I know that Luka game in Dallas when they came to Atlanta, it was like right at an hour and a half before game time. We found out that was announced. So I'm kind of still waiting a little bit more to sell the tickets at the very bitter end. But
LeBron's birthday and Magic City are going to be a 1-2 combo.
I don't think he's really going to do it, but we'll see. You never know. If he plays, he's not going to play the whole game. The whole principle is we weren't supposed to be coming to this Laker game like this. We were supposed to be having some fanfare in the Hawks, and nothing is guaranteed, but I don't really want to go. I'll be very mad to spend $300 on a rental car or an uncomfortable shuttle and come all the way up to Atlanta and watch Dennis and Pat Bev beat us.
Yeah.
It'll be acceptable to me after these last 2 losses that were supposed to be wins because we needed to win all 3 of these games this week. We just had to. We needed to.
Yeah, no.
We didn't. You know, I just don't know why wrestler doesn't really look at it from that standpoint alone. That's really the only one that matters at this point. And whether or not you're a paying fan or you're a fan that's watching all the games, we need to have more than what we're having right now with the talent that we really do have that everybody else wants in the NBA.
Our guy's name's popping up with multiple teams interested. It isn't coincidence. Like, a team's trying to get John for the cheap, and if they get him, they're going to get themselves one hell of a steal of a player on a great deal, probably for pennies on the dollar if they end up trading him, just because I still don't see any market out there that's going to give a return back to what John means to this team.
Exactly. Well, man, I'm glad you were able to call in. It's always good to, you know, get to hear from, you know, people I ain't got to meet in real life yet.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No, I was glad I got off working time and I saw the thing. I was like, man, let me give a call real quick and get it on.
Anytime. And hopefully in 2023 we'll be on live on a regular basis. We'll be working out some of the kinks of not being on live for a while. So, you know, stay tuned for that, okay?
Yeah, beautiful. Will do, man. Appreciate all the work you do, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. That was my man, Kars. Follows me on Twitter. Now, I just saw somebody comment. It looks like DJ said he can't hear the caller now. Now I got to figure out. I thought I fixed it this time because the last time I knew what the problem probably was. And it doesn't look like that got fixed because I got two people now telling me y'all didn't hear the call. So what will have to happen is you'll have to listen to the whole show on the radio. So I'll post that. Make sure you're following me either on the YouTube channel or on Twitter, Intellect ATL, and I'll post the show. You can listen to the caller in that particular case. But now, because I do have a little bit less time than anticipated, I do want to play this clip. It's about 3 minutes. I'm gonna have to delete some of the other stuff that I was going to do, unfortunately. Maybe I'll just do another show around that. But I do want to play this from Coach Bud, okay? Coach Bud, 2015, and there was a reporter talking to him about offense, okay, and ideology and planning and just everything in regards to what coaching is on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to play it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit, okay? I can't play anymore. Because that is how we should be playing. Shaking my table. Get so mad watching that. I've been waiting to play that forever. So I wanted to make sure I got it in, even though I know I had less time. I had some other stuff I was going to do. Again, I'm going to basically scrap all of that because I'm almost out of time today. So I'll probably do another show with other things I was going to produce. Basically, some of my old shows talking about Hawks games in the past, 2018, 2019 season. So I'll do a complete breakdown on that. But if you just listen to what Coach Bud just said right there, if we were doing 40% of what Coach Bud just said there in that three-minute bit, we would be undefeated as a team. Maybe not undefeated. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not really, right? Let's see what Jordan says. Jordan said, we don't play enough through the elbows or pinch posts at all. Dribble handoffs with Murray getting the ball with a head of steam could be deadly for us. He did it that one time. Remember that one time he drove to the basket and kicked it at a wide open AJ knocked that in for, you know, a three? We could be doing that every game, and we don't do it. Even if it's not our primary offense, we should mix those principles in. Exactly, Jordan. Jordan also has said earlier, Nate McMillan is displaying unprecedented incompetence. As you said, either the players are not doing what he wants or they are not doing what he wants or doing what they want with no consequences. Unacceptable either way. That's it. You see what I'm saying? And again, at a certain point, that's the only thing that matters. The coach is the leader. The players have a leader or leaders or captains and stuff like that, but the coach is in charge of everything that happens on the court and off the court. So off the court, what's happening in practice? What's happening when the guys are at home chilling and stuff? This is their job. They can chill. Ain't no one telling them they can't chill. But Kobe studied film all the time, didn't he? Kobe was at the gym all the time, wasn't he? Because he wanted to be the best. So does that matter or not? Because I want to see the players. I don't care, and I've said this how many times, y'all. The team could go 0-82 every season. But if they played as hard as they can for 48 minutes and played the right way and they still get beat, I can accept that result. What I can't accept is when I can tell in the third quarter that this game is over. When I can tell before halftime that we're going to lose the game because we're not going to pass the ball to anybody, the Houston game. I called it on Twitter. I was like, we're not winning this game, y'all. Trey is waving people out of the post of Murray can ISO. We're not winning this game. There's no way we can win the game. And we have a 16-point lead against Houston. It's mind-boggling where we are right now. Let's see. Jerry Sloan ran the pick and roll for 15 years, but other players had to move too. They had other things within that pick and roll. Pick and roll, whatever y'all want to do. Because you had Hornacek. I mean, I believe my co-host Jordan Jackson mentioned this. You had Hornacek doing stuff. You had screens. You had staggered. You had bounce passes. You had, we can't even do a proper entry pass. Remember on my videos, I sometimes talk about playing basketball myself, and I get mad when people can't give me a proper entry pass in the post. I shouldn't have to jump out 15 feet to go get the ball. I shouldn't have to jump up 15 feet to get the ball either. Here's my hand. If I know who's on my back as far as a player, okay, If it's a bigger player, if I'm having to play the Akeem Olajuwon on the other team, I need the bounce pass down low. But I need it to where it's a bounce pass and I get it in my bread basket right here. I can protect it. But if I got somebody smaller, give it to me in my left hand or my right hand, depending on what side of the post I'm in, and hit me in my doggone hand. Because now I can operate. Now I can do what I need to do. Now I can see what's going on. I got the ball right here. What's going on? You're not going to get this unless you're fouling me. I can move it around. Okay, I see you moving. All right, I'm kicking it out right there, wide open three, right? Or, okay, well, if you cutting, I'm going to give you the ball right here. Boom, there you are. Lay it up. Or you get fouled and we got another shot. We don't do any of that, though, for some reason, even though we got John Collins, who can get us 20 and 10 every night if we gave him the ball, but we don't want to give him the ball. But every five games, maybe, sometimes. It's not enough. Shout out to B-Ball Breakdown, by the way, for that interview of Coach Bud from 2015. So I wonder if I have enough time to play this. No, I'm going to wait and do this another show. I got 13 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and check the tickets. And actually, I'll do that now. Let's see how much my tickets are going for now in my section. They keep going up, actually, surprisingly. And I guess it's because as it's getting closer and closer to the game, people are, you know, now scrambling a little bit, I guess, you know. They're up to 340 now. A ticket in my section. It's 347. I'm going to wait till after 4 o'clock. I might sell them at that point. We'll see. They might go up a lot more. I do want to mention one other thing, though. I'm not going to play it, but I did want to mention something else. Because do you want to win or do you want to just kind of win? You want to just be okay, you know? Again, how many times do we have to hear the disheartened Bob Raspin say we had this game wrapped up and now here we are fighting for our lives? Don't you think the players are thinking that too a little bit? And the players really do need to be coached and they want to be coached. But a win is a win is a win. Not really a win. And at what point is that not enough for y'all? Are we just going to play 500 ball for the rest of Trey's career? You see what I'm saying? I mean, at a certain point, that's where we are right now. We have to have a direction. We have to have an identity. We have to have an ideology. This is basketball. That's it. How many times are we hearing in Neek and Vince, get the ball to John? Why can't we get the ball to John? Where he wants the ball. All the other players in NBA history can always get the ball where they want the ball, but John can't. And it's a problem that he can't. It's a problem. Oh, he should be able to. No. Siakam gets the ball where he wants the ball, and he goes to operate. All the other guys do. Randall, everybody. Except for John, though. And John only can get 6 shots a game. But we're going to give Murray 24 shots. Even though he might shoot 4 for 24, 6 for 24, whatever it is, it's better for him to shoot 34%, 33%, 28%. And you see John go 6 for 7. But 6 for 7 is not a good thing, though. Make that make logical sense to me in a basketball game that you're trying to win. You can't do that. Again, what is the preference at this point of keeping someone who's self-admitted to you, he's behind in the times, he doesn't care that we can't close out games. He said himself it's not a problem. He don't think it's an issue. At the time when he said that, we were 31 games into the season. He said we're figuring it out. That's what he said. He said that. He gave us an excuse of why we lost the game on Tuesday against Indiana, talking about we tired, we got heavy legs, but we hadn't played since Friday. That coach said that to us. He told us that. Players can't bench themselves, folks. That's the accountability. If the player isn't accountable to himself, shooting the team out, doing whatever, the coach has to do something about it. And if the coach isn't willing to do something about it, that means he doesn't care that it's happening and it's going to continue to happen. And that's it. Because nothing else is going to change. Nothing else can change. players ain't changing it. They're not the coach. Players are only doing what they're doing. They're just out there fighting for their lives. And it's not cool to see anymore, y'all. It's not cool to see this anymore. It's not cool to see this anymore with my 9 minutes left on the show. So as I get ready to wrap this up, appreciate those who participated on the chat line, Jordan Jackson, Mr. DJ, I think it was, a couple other people I saw in there. Sorry about not being able to hear Mr. Carse, I can't pronounce his name, it's Carse or Carse, on Twitter that he came in there. By the way, since he called in, he has the opportunity to win a ticket going to a Hawks game or College Park Skyhawks. Or a shirt from, I don't remember the new name. He just changed it, so I got to see if I can start remembering it now. Where is he at? Price Design Club. You get a shirt. So he's in the running. Somebody's going to win that. Don't know who just yet. But I appreciate the participation as far as that goes, as always. And, of course, make sure you follow on Twitter, IntellectATL. My co-host, Jordan Jackson, Jordan23ATL. Make sure you follow the IMTM Worldwide Radio YouTube channel, okay? Make sure you subscribe. Hit the button, okay? And, of course, you can follow on Instagram and Facebook for IMTM Worldwide Radio. Make sure you do that. Appreciate that. Let's see. How many minutes I got left? I'm going to see if I can wrap this up. I hate that I couldn't play the other stuff, but I rather defer to my callers when I do get them in, so it's always good stuff there. But I have a lot, so I'm going to keep this for another time. But one thing I will play, and this is just to prove the point again. Y'all remember the movie Hoosiers? I love playing this clip. Let's watch this, because this is what's supposed to be happening when things aren't going right, when you have Bogey doing the ISO stuff, when you have Murray doing ISO stuff, and, you know, not trying to get the ball to other people if the coach asks them to. This is what's supposed to happen right here. See, that's an actual consequence for not actually doing what was instructed by the head coach. Because the head coach said, four times, you're going to pass the ball four times before you put a shot up. So whatever implementation you have to do to figure that out, that's what has to happen. And if we were to do that to get better shots, we would win all these games that we're losing. We're 6-7 in games where we have a 10-point lead or more, guys. That's not a good thing. That's not positive. We lost 39 games last year, okay? Primarily because we would run stuff that's unexecutable. We make it harder for our guys. Why would you do that? We can set screens for our shooters. We could post up more. We could move without the ball and find those empty spaces. We don't just standing there doesn't do anybody any good. Just standing there doesn't do anybody good. And that shows it right there that something can be done. To learn that lesson, your playing time has to get pulled down. You're not playing this many minutes anymore. Because if that's the only way you can learn, that's the only way we can do it. Win or lose, that's what you got to do. And maybe you will stay on the floor longer if you start doing those things because the coach says this is what we need to do to win. But if we actually had it implemented, it'd be easier. If it was natural, here, over the half court line, I'm standing right here. It's time for me to move. I'm moving. Because that's what Coach Bud did. Our team won 60 games with that squad. Think about that. Individually, those guys don't hurt nobody on no team. But together, they won 60 games. Moving without the basketball. Cutting. Diving. rebound, block. Again, I didn't get a chance to do the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to do it. But bump the offense, if we would just lock out as a team, if we would just switch properly as a team, if we would just rotate better as a team, if we would stop over-helping, if we would get back on defense as a team, we would keep these leads. But we don't do any of that. And all you got to do is go check out the box score and see where are the points in the paint that we give up. Where are the fast break points that we give up? Where are the second chance points that we give up? What is the three-point percentage of the team when the team comes and plays us as opposed to what they actually shoot in real freaking life? Oh, you're in a slump. Play them Hawks, man. They're going to give it up. They're going to give it up. Who's guarding Buddy Hield the other night? He was 6-for-7 from three. You know he's a 40% plus three-point shooter. Does it matter? Apparently not. That's how you know, y'all. That's how you know. I didn't get a chance to talk about defense. There's 2 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and sign off right now. Thanks for everybody pitching in, listening, watching the show. Again, I know a lot of y'all are at work or about to get off of work. I know I didn't advertise this show. I was going to do a show yesterday, and the plan was I was going to do a live show in Atlanta today, but I decided I didn't want to go to the Laker game, so I'm selling my ticket. So I decided I'll do a show today, and here we are. So, again, stay tuned in 2023 for Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. We're going to have a lot of shows next year. We're going to have Bob Rathman again and Steve Holman on again as guests. We have some other guests that I'm planning to have on the show. I'm excited about that. You know, Steve and Bob have been on the show many times, 4 years. So I'm excited about getting them back on the show in the new year. So look out for that. And just make sure y'all keep watching and listening. Again, we're gonna be doing some new things this year coming up. I'm excited. But until next time, y'all take care. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. Y'all be safe. Y'all stay inside the house, doggone it. There's some crazy people out there. Peace.